In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining the Word for Life broadcast today, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. My name is Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside, and I'm happy to have in studio with me today Pastor Wade Coolwin. So, Pastor Wade, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
And we're glad that you're with us, whether you're driving to work or just rolling out of bed or you're just getting home from work. We are in our study of Joshua, one of my favorite Old Testament books of the Bible. I love the story of Joshua, he and Caleb, as they stood strong and true and went against the crowd. And we'll be getting to chapter 22 here in just a little bit, but Pastor Wade, why don't you just share with our folks what we have coming up here at Brookside?
Well, this coming weekend, we're going to enjoy the ministry of Ben Everson on Palm Sunday. This Sunday is Palm Sunday already. Ben Everson is a musical artist, vocal artist, as well as an evangelist. So he'll be doing some singing, and he'll be preaching in both the morning services at 9 and 10:15.
And he's very gifted, too. I mean, God is very, he's written his own music, has a wonderful voice, and he has an evangelism ministry all over the U.S. So we're glad to have Ben and his family here.
We're delighted that he's going to be here, again, 9 and 10:15, and then he'll be back in the evening at 6 p.m. And this being Palm Sunday reminds us that Friday is Good Friday. And we're having a Good Friday service here, cantata, drama in the evening. And then following that, a reception for hosts and guests. And if you're listening and you'd love to come, we'd surely like to meet you. And not only that, but the blessing of hearing music and the story of the gospel portrayed in music and drama will be a blessing to your heart.
Well, we look forward to that, and trust that if you don't have any place to go on that Easter weekend, that you come and join us here at Brookside, or you can go online and watch us in live stream. Well, we're in Joshua 22, Pastor Wade, and Joshua had just been communicating to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and to that half-tribe of Manasseh, who decided that they wanted to settle east of the Jordan, sought out permission from Moses. He sought the Lord, and the Lord gave permission for them, but they had to go across and help their brothers actually take control of the land that God had promised to give them. And so Joshua has been communicating to these tribes, you need to first love God, and you need to love Him with all your heart, going back really to that passage in Deuteronomy 6 that we refer to as the Shema, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And he wanted them, as they had finished up, getting ready to head back now to their own families on the eastern side of the Jordan, he's continuing to speak, and he's going to speak to these other tribes that are on the western side of the Jordan, because he wants them to keep one of the basic lessons that most of us learned in kindergarten, and that's share what you have with others. And Joshua specifically told them, these tribes on the western side, divide with your brothers the plunder of your enemies. The people who stayed on the eastern side of the Jordan, they're deserving of some of the spoil, because they had been doing the work in regard to the guardianship of the land. And so they had needs over there. They had to raise their crops. They had to have food for their animals. They had to guard their land. And verse 9 of chapter 22 of Joshua emphasizes the geographic distinction between the 9 1/2 tribes and the 2 1/2 tribes. Shiloh is in Canaan, and Gilead was in their own land. What no one is even remotely aware of is that they could possibly, after they've had this great victory, find themselves staring civil war potentially right there in their face.
Mm-hmm.
All around them stood the half-defeated Canaanites who were just waiting for any opportunity to pounce on these invaders of what they claimed to be their land. But if you remember, God had promised this land to Abraham. We would hope that the events of the rest of this chapter would teach Israel a great lesson about unity. But we know from the later wars of the northern and southern kingdoms that the lesson learned here was only temporary. The intention of the 2.5 tribes may have been very sincere enough. Remember, we're saying, you know, my motives are very sincere, but my method, there's something wrong with the method. And the appearance of the altar certainly seemed to be a violation as far as the western tribes, those other 9.5 tribes, were concerned. And I would say there's a definite lesson for us in this today. Our motive and our methods must both be right for God to be glorified. Remember in John chapter 15, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And that fruit bearing is going to be that which is obedient to what the Lord has called us to do. You think about this for a moment. The men who had been fighting together for 7 years are separated a few short weeks, and suddenly they're ready to go up against each other and to fight. You say, what was the big idea of constructing an altar? And we'll get into that because God's preserved it for us in His Word, but the dilemma needed a solution. The West had a problem. Unity cannot exist with infidelity. They saw a big problem here, and let me have Pastor Wade, if you would just read for us, let's say verses 11 through 15 of chapter 22, they kind of starts to point out for us here in chapter 22, what is starting to be the issue.
Now the children of Israel heard someone say, "Behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the land, of Jordan on the children of Israel's side. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, and with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to half the tribe of Manasseh to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying,"
Yeah, we're going to get into what they're going to say here in just a minute. But what really came to my attention was verse 11 when it says, "And they heard."
Mm-hmm.
How often that when we hear something, we assume the worst right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's our nature. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame unto him." You see, there was a judicial policy, a judicial law that had been given. The law of God prohibited the building of an altar just anywhere. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Pastor Wade, if you have that, would you read those two verses for us?
"Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there shall do all that I command you."
So God said, hey, don't just start sacrificing anywhere you want to. The place now that they were to be sacrificing was Shiloh. It had previously been in Gilgal. And so the restriction of sacrifice to one sanctuary or one place was, you might call it, preventive theology. It was intended to preserve the purity of worship. To oversimplify it, it meant one altar, one faith, one people. But to allow such worship wherever folks hankered, you know, to want to experience God, would soon take on a Canaanite color. It would soak up Canaanite belief, sport Canaanite practices, eventually even adore Canaanite gods. In short, if they could just go do whatever they wanted to do as far as in their worship of God, it would at one blow kill fidelity, the purity of the worship, the faithfulness to God. It would kill the unity of Israel. Pastor Wade, Leviticus chapter 17 and verses 8 and 9 are interesting passages, if you'd read those for us.
Also, you shall say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of strangers who dwell among you, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from among his people.
So they're referred to as the Transjordan tribes, the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. They were guilty here of a very unwise action. They wanted to thank God. They wanted their kids to remember what took place. They didn't want them to forget their cousins and their family members on the west side of the Jordan. And so they built an altar without explanation to the other tribes. And so these Transjordan tribes, they were on the east side of the Jordan River. They looked like they were putting up an altar in competition with the memorial the Lord had them build to commemorate the crossing of the Jordan. Paul telling the Ephesians in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. In this judicial law, the law of God condemned offenders of breaking this law. What was at stake here for the Western tribes was the spiritual health of Israel. That's how they viewed it. The tribes are stirred by the appearance of unfaithfulness. For God is a jealous God, and he hates anything that comes before him. You know, and Pastor Wade, as we get ready to close today, you think of again, right motive. Not only did they really have the wrong method, it would have been best for them to communicate, you know, with these tribes to let them know, hey, we're not in competition with you.
Right.
But we want you to know that we want our families to remember the Lord and remember what he gave to us here.
Exactly, to communicate. And there was miscommunication or non-communication, and they thought the worst.
Yeah. And isn't that sad that sometimes when we hear something, that's what we think. We think the worst. Well, friends, I hope you'll continue to join us as we keep this study in Joshua 22 going. And we hope to see you here next time. And if we can be of help to you, please contact us at Brookside Baptist Church. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.